Welcome to part two of our interview with Tony Ramirez about a mother's curse.
My mother was having occurrences still, though. You know, she was seeing stuff. This wasn't in the story, but my mother was actually still seeing stuff in the house. She wasn't physically touched. She actually had the priest come over to bless the home. The priest told her that he felt, you know, that there was something in the house. He recommended that my mother, you know, get, you know, like a thorough cleansing. We weren't baptized at that time. So, you know, Catholic religion, he wanted us to be baptized. But she continued when she went places as well. She continued seeing stuff, you know, shadows, people's faces, you know, not being there. She says she saw, you know, what looked like demon faces. It just was a constant haunting, you know. In a glass, she would see someone standing behind her. There were several things that actually, you know, saw continue to happen. And after, you know, talking with the priest, and she went to Burandera's, which is a medicine doctor in Spanish. They actually performed what they did was it's a cleansing, to where they actually they get an egg. They rub it over your body. They say their healing words. And this is for people that have not so much been cursed. At that point, she didn't know that she was cursed. It's more of like a people that have fear, that are sick, that have fever. That's kind of like a medicine doctor cleansing. And when they crack the egg open afterwards, the egg is supposed to absorb all of the negative energy and all the sickness and the fever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when they cracked the egg, it was black. It was completely black inside. And she said that that the Burandera medicine doctor had actually told her that he felt that she was cursed, and that she needed to find out who it was, and needed to have them remove it, because he was unable to do so. It had to be removed by the person that actually put it on him. You know, they had to remove it themselves. So that's when she had found out that, okay, this curse had happened. And she pinpointed back to Lupi, which was Juan's mother, actually pinned it to her. So she had went over to her home and asked her, and, you know, said, you know, okay, let me back up. Before she went over to go ask her, she called me up, and I spoke with her several times on the phone, you know, during the course of the summer. And she would ask me little questions here and there. What about this? What about that? But she was really specific. After she went to the Burandera, she asked me, she says, was there any, you know, have you, when you were with them at any time, did you ever hear, you know, brujeria or like bruja, which is a Mexican witch? And it reminded me of one time when I was in Mexico with Juan and his cousins. They had a family business, and the family business, they actually had these little seashells that they would glue together with hot glue, and they would make this like a throne and like a little, you know, seashell person sitting on there, and, you know, little guys playing, you know, the violin, or guys playing the, you know, the guitar. And they were selling at the border, you know, for money.
Sure.
It was the grandmother's business. And I remember one time I was there, we were, you know, walking around hanging out, and one of the girls dropped one of the little statues she was working on, and all the little kids started teasing her, you know, telling her in Spanish, you know, the bruja's going to get you, you're going to be cursed, the bruja's going to get you. And they're saying this in Spanish, like over and over and over. And I asked one, I said, what are they saying? And, you know, he's like, they're just teasing her, you know, because she dropped the thing. Well, they were teasing her so much that the grandmother came out, you know, the grandmother in question that I saw at the party, she actually came out, and she had a little stick, and she's, you know, smacking the kids, and she's like, leave her alone, come on, you know, and she's doing all this in Spanish. She's saying like, leave her alone, you know, come on, mija, you know, come on, you know, here, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. You're fine. Don't, you know, as she's walking away, well, one of the little kids kept on, you know, he kept on teasing and teasing. And I mean, the grandmother turned and gave him a look. I mean, that stopped time. I mean, I remember looking at her, look at him, and it just, it shut him up. It just stopped him in his track. And he just like, oh shit, like I went too far,
yeah.
You know? And she turned and she just grabbed the little girl, went inside, and I, you know, asked Juan again, well, what was that all about? He goes, nah, she just got mad because they were teasing her, you know? So hearing them chanting, you know, the bruja, the bruja, the bruja, I told my mom that story, and she, I mean, the phone went silent. I mean, she just, I mean, I could hear her sobbing, I could hear her crying, and she's like, okay. She said, put your aunt, you know, put your aunt on the phone. So she spoke with her. And that night, they were talking, and they actually, they spoke Spanish. Now, I learned enough Spanish from Juan and his family at that point to understand what they were saying. And I heard them say that, well, you know, my mom was basically cursed. Mm-hmm. And that she thought that, Juan's mother was the one that placed the curse, so she was going to speak to her about it. That was kind of what I got from the conversation. So she had went to her, she spoke with her, and she knocked on the door. She told me this afterwards, of course. She knocked on the door, and she's like, you know, I want to apologize. You know, I apologize for what happened. You know, I'm very sorry. And she's like, why are you apologizing now? You know, why? You know, Lupe tells her, why are you apologizing now? Why all of a sudden are you apologizing to me? And she goes, well, you know, I'm scared. You know, things have been happening. And she started telling her the things. And she goes, and, you know, I fear for myself and I fear for Tony. And she said, why would you fear for Tony? Why? Well, why? I haven't seen him. Why would you fear for him? She said, I sent him away. I sent him to go stay with family because he had saw these things, and you know, these are things that have happened, and he's seen it, and it appears to be, you know, attacking or showing itself to him, whatever is haunting, it's haunting us. There's something in the house that's haunting us. There's something that's happening to my family. And she told her to come in. You know, she sat her down at her kitchen table and told her, you know, what my mom told me later, like very, very, very sadly, with almost tears in her eyes. She's like, it was never supposed to happen. Nothing was never supposed to happen to him. It was meant for you. And my mother's like, what do you mean? She goes, well, that plate of food I took you, you know, what I did, it was meant to teach you a lesson. It was meant to, you know, basically what her grandmother had told her was, it was just a kind of a slap in the face. It was supposed to get her sick, give her diarrhea, you know, give her, you know, stomach cramps and stuff like that. But that it was never meant to harm anybody, myself included, or anybody else in the household, you know, and that she didn't know what was happening. And her grandmother and her cousins that live in Mexico were the ones that were actually, you know, they were studying the brujería. They were the witches, the Mexican witches. So, you know, Lupe living in the States over here really never was really too involved. So she knew not too much about it, just enough to where she had to prepare the food, give it to me. I mean, give it to my mom and then, you know, let her get sick over it.
Yeah.
So she said, go home. I'm going to speak with family and I'm going to fix this. So she goes, my mom goes home and she's, you know, at home, and the door, you know, Lupe knocks on the door and, you know, she asks her to come in. She goes, no, I cannot enter your home. This is what you need to do. Make me a plate of food and return it on the plate that I gave it to you. Make the food with your own hands. She says, do not have anybody else involved and return it to me. And she says, once I eat that food, she says, it should rectify, everything should go away, it should relieve it, because you're returning the plate that I gave it to you on. And I had heard that, you know, from time to time, and I still hear it. If somebody gives you something, you know, like the American version of that is, you know, if someone gives you a knife, you give them back to a closed, you know, you don't hand them back to an open because it's bad luck. vice versa, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I had heard that before. And so my mother said, okay, it sounds feasible. So she did it, returned the plate to her. And that night, my mom said that she felt better. She felt, you know, like things were getting better. You know, the house felt lighter. Things were great.
Yeah.
And later we found out that if you look at a pie and you take pieces of the pie, that just only took a small portion of the pie away. There was many other things that were still attached, that were still going to be there with us. There was a time, and things were still happening to me also. I'll kind of jump ahead to me being at my Aunt Rachel's during the summer. There was a time that, and I didn't know it until later, that I was still being haunted away from the house, and it was kind of attached to me also. It was my cousin. They were having like a little get together, and my cousin was standing in the garage, and I walked out. I didn't know that she did not have a friend there at that time. But there was a lady, a younger girl, probably about 18, dressed regular, was there standing next to her. I had a conversation with this girl, maybe two or three words, you know, hi, and she smiled back. And I said, do you want to play tag? I was 9 years old. And she nodded, and I ran. When I ran, my cousin standing there, she's looking at me because she's talking with her other friends. She's like, what is Tony doing? I seen that look on her face. So I turned around. This girl's running behind me, waving her arms. Now, her face completely changed. She looked evil. Her hair was long. What I thought that I saw on the actual roof was chasing me. Well, I got so scared, I fell in the grass. When I fell in the grass, my cousin came to get me. And I said, tell her to stop. Tell her to stop. You know, like, just there's enough. And she looked and said, who? Who? Tell who to stop. And when she went to go grab my hand, she grabbed my hand and my arm to lift me up, and she backed up and she let go. And she goes, oh, she says, what was that? And I said, what was what? She goes, I got electrocuted. I got shocked. And I was like, you got shocked? She said, yeah, I got shocked when I touched her hand. She said, I felt like I was electrocuted. And I was like, wow, okay. You know, I blew it off, you know, mm-hmm. And then I was laying in bed, which was the couch that I was sleeping on, and I was laying on the couch, and that same night I felt something really heavy on my chest. You know, you could call it, what do they call it? Sleep paralysis. Or you can call it, you know, something sitting on me. I felt like I was suffocating that night as well. And those are the two things that actually happened to me. Of course, I woke up, I caught my breath, and, you know, I stood up for the better part of the night that night. But those are things that were still happening to me when I was away from the house. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of bouncing back and forth, you know, because there was a lot of things that I left out of the story that I turned into. But so I came back home. After that, you know, it was pretty much the end of the summer. I was getting ready to go back to school. I came back home, and, you know, my mom said, it's okay. You know, everything's fine. You know, let's, there's nothing in the house anymore. Everything's okay. You know, she says, you know, do you want to go see Juan? And I was like, oh, yeah, I haven't seen him all summer. You know, yeah, of course I want to go see him. You know, I would love to. So I went over to the house, and I knocked on the door, and, you know, his mom opened up the door, and she's like, hi, my little gringo, I haven't seen you. How have you been? You know, da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, I've been great. Is Juan home? You know, and I could see her staring at me. She's looking at my chest. Well, over the summer, I had developed this wart, this like really ugly black wart, like over my heart, you know, on my chest, on my upper chest, on my left side. And I had it there, and I had picked it, and, you know, and it was, oh, you know, big, ugly, black wart, and I just saw, you know, okay, you get warts, you know, yeah. And I had a mustard shirt on, so she was able to see it. It was summer, it was hot, and she's looking at it, and she says, where did you get that from? And I said, oh, I don't know. It just, over the summer, it just grew. It's ugly. I know, you know. She's like, Juan's not feeling good. You need to go home. You need to go home. You need to go, you know, go to the house. If he's feeling better later on, you can play with him, but go home right now. I was like, okay. So I went home and my mom got a phone call and, she rushed me over to the doctor, to the clinic where she had her removed. Well, the conversation that she had with Loopy was that children, a lot of times that are involved in curses or that have, you know, that have been either cursed or, you know, possessed or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever you call it, they'll develop warts. And she felt that wart was a result of the part of the curse or the portion of the curse that I had actually taken on. And she told her to have it removed immediately, that, you know, until I had it removed, that it would be there and it would follow me, mm-hmm. you know. So my mom had it taken off, you know, she had it removed, you know, and, I still have the scar today from it, and it's kind of a reminder of everything that, you know, that's happened. Once I had it removed, you know, we went back, you know, to our normal lives and things, you know, I would, you know, see stuff out of the side of my eye. I would feel uneasy, but there wasn't those attacks and there wasn't that, you know, really visual, you know, seeing stuff, or my mother wasn't being attacked anymore. You know, I didn't see, you know, any doppelgangers, if you want to call them that. I didn't see none of that stuff anymore. It was just kind of a slight hint of it, like a slight hint of a smell of it left. Juan's father actually was burned a couple of months later in a work accident, very, very severely burned, where he almost died. I mean, there was maybe 80% of his body was burned, his face, you know, his ears, his hair. He was never able to grow hair back. And I remember Loopy talking with my mom and telling her that she felt that it was her fault. She felt that her husband was a result of the curse. You know, whenever you place a curse on somebody, you get it back. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you can curse somebody, but you're going to get paid back for it one way or another, either by death in a family, something happening to you, to a family member. So she felt that the curse was still there. While his mother, which is her grandmother, Juan's grandmother, had passed away that same month. Mm-hmm. So she felt later on, before she moved, because she moved a couple of years later, she felt that if we would have been able to go to Mexico to sit down with her and actually have her properly remove, you know, the demons, the entities, whatever they were attached to us, that we would have been able to, you know, just completely clear it from us 100%, but that there'll always be sort of a residual effect left over from it. And even till today, I mean, you know, I don't see what I would say, you know, apparitions, or I wouldn't see, you know, doppelgangers, mm-hmm. but I always get that uneasiness knowing that there's kind of something there. I always get that, you know, I can't be in a room without the, you know, without the door being closed, being able to see into the next room. You know, I tuck my feet under the covers. I'm a 49-year-old guy. I mean, what 49-year-old guy, you know, still kind of has that little bit of a scare, you know. Explain it is kind of like post-traumatic syndrome.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. you go to the war and you have this, you know, this traumatic thing that happens to you, and you always have that kind of feeling, you know, door slams, you kind of, you know, look and stuff. But mine has always been seeing stuff or hearing things that ain't there, or hearing a mumble, you know. I remember we went on a camping trip to Fort Parker here in Texas, where I live, and we passed by a cemetery. Well, you had to actually drive kind of through the cemetery to kind of get to the park. And when we drove into the cemetery, I got this really loud buzz. This kind of like a buzz, you know, but mm-hmm. with slight hints of mumbles in the background. And I looked, you know, I had my wife and kids in the car, and I looked at my wife and I said, "Do you hear that?" And, you know, she's like, "No, I don't know. I don't hear nothing." I said, "Let's listen." And I lowered the radio and turned off, you know, the air. It was summer. And I'm like, "Listen to that." It was like a numbing hum with mumbles in the background. And as soon as we drove through, it went away. Well, we had to drive back out the same way that we came in a week later. And I heard the same thing, you know, and I haven't experienced that before mm-hmm. at different cemeteries. I've gone to different funerals and, you know, laid people to rest in my family and even my mother when we laid her to rest. And I never heard that before. And that was strange that activity or that one cemetery gave me that. And so there's things like that that have happened throughout, you know, the course of my life up to this point, you know, till today.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Tony Ramirez about a mother's curse. Shocking story. Thank you, Tony, for joining us on the program today. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.